I'm going to start again. Good morning, everyone. I thank the Ribono Shel Olam that I'm able to give the shiur this morning. It's been a challenging time medically, and I'm happy I'm able to speak to you this morning. It wasn't a given, and I'm happy that I'm able to do it, Bezrat Hashem, for many more times and years to come. I also wanted to dedicate the shiur this morning to the memory of Bruce's father, whose yahrzeit we are commemorating, I believe, today. Am I right, Bruce? Okay, so the shir and the words of Torah we're going to say are dedicated to the memory of Avraham Yaakov ben Mordechai Zechrono Levracha. Bezrat Hashem, the continued Kol learning in general that Bruce organizes for us the entire year should be something done in his memory, and Bezrat Hashem lizchuto Uli Ilui Nishmato. His legacy continues to pump strong down in this world, and I'm sure in the other worlds as well, Bruce. Everything that I just said, my medical challenges, your side of Bruce's father, in my opinion, obviously is nothing compared to the terrible tragedy that we unfortunately went through here in Israel this past Friday morning. And I have to admit that I don't think any of us can just continue the way things were before. Mamash ala mavet bechaloneinu, as it says in Eicha, the death came in our window. Each and every one of us in some way or another knows someone that unfortunately was hurt or killed by the terrible tragedy in Meron. And therefore, even though I had a sheer plan this morning, I want to change the topic to three thoughts that I have on the tragedy in Meron that I'd like to share with you. And I share this not because I believe that I am another voice of the many voices that came out after this tragedy. I'm a nothing. I also admit that I've never gone to Meron on Lag BaOmer. I went there in other times, and I don't think I'm ever going to go there on Lag BaOmer. It's just not something that I personally do. But obviously, if something like this happens, we can't just sit around and do nothing, simply because the Rambam, at the beginning of Hilchot Ta'aniyot, not the fast days that we have every year on the calendar, that's Perek Hei. In Perek Aleph, literally at the beginning of Hilchot Ta'aniyot, the Rambam says that if a tragedy happens and you do nothing, it's achzari. What does achzari mean? He doesn't say usher. He says, achzari. Literally vicious. Vicious to have something like this happen and sort of say, man, nothing can do with me. You know, I wasn't there. Don't have family, relatives that were there. So therefore, it's nothing to do with me. Obviously, if we say that, that is achzari. And therefore, allow me to share three thoughts about it. My first thought and most important thought this morning, and if I say nothing else, this is my thought. And that is a Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin on top of the source sheet. The Gemara says like this. We all know that the beginning of humanity was not exactly a story of daisies and roses. Correct, Arthur? We all know that right at the beginning of humanity, there was a murder. Cain killed Hevel, his brother. And it says in the Pasuk, where is your brother? Kol dmei achicha tzo'akim alai mina adama. The blood, plural, of your brother is screaming out to me. So the Gemara says, Eino omer dmei achicha, dam achicha, ela dmei achicha. It doesn't say the blood of your brother, singular, but the blood of your brother, plural. Why? Because it's damo v'dam zarotav. It's not just that you killed him, you killed Hevel. You killed the potential children that he would have brought into the world. Meaning it's not just a tragedy of one. It's a tragedy that's compounded, plural, because of all the generations that were lost. And therefore, my first thought is that we didn't just lose 45 people. We lost 45 people that could have brought into the world endless other people, could have influenced endless other people. Thought number two. Lefikach, says the Gemara, Nivra Adam Yechidi, Lelamedcha Shekola Ma'abed Nefesh Echad Mi'Israel Ma'aleh Alav HaKatuv Kilu Ibed Olam Maleh. Namely, and this is something that I have to say always bothered me, it bothered Rav Soloveitchik and it bothers me, individually of Rav Soloveitchik, and that is that, unfortunately, we're living in a world where we're all put into a straitjacket. Am I correct? you know, if you're a religious Zionist, then you're like all the rest of the religious Zionists. You vote for this and this party, and you dress this way on Shabbos. And if you're a Hasid or a Litvak, you dress this way and you think this way. The Gemara seems to say that part of being a human being is that I am different from you. We don't think the same. We don't drink the same drinks necessarily. We don't have the same taste in food. And we also don't have the same tastes in general. We all are Ovdei Hashem. We all are bounded by the halacha. But there's a lot of room for pluralism once we've said that. And therefore the Gemara says, if you save one person, you've saved an entire world, because each person should be different. They may look the same, but each person is different. And I believe one of the tragedies of our generation is that we're not celebrating those differences, but rather we're going ahead and we're saying we're all the same, there's no big difference between us. From this perspective, says the Gemara in Masechet Pesachim something amazing. Something that when the tragedy struck, that's all I thought about. It's a Gemara that, I have to say, like many, we go through it, we see it, we sort of pass over it, but quite frankly, we don't necessarily internalize it because it never happened. But it happened this Friday. This is what the Gemara says. Tana Rabbanan. Me'olam lo nitamech adam ba'azara. Chutz mi Pesach Echad Shehaya B'yemei Hillel. Never was someone squashed in the Azara waiting to bring the Korban Pesach except once in the times of Hillel. Shenitamech bo Zakein Echad. One old Jew was squashed to death. V'hayu kor'in oto Pesach Me'uchin. And that Pesach was renamed the Pesach of the Squashed, because one Jew was squashed. Now, how much more so when 45 people were squashed to death? They renamed an entire Pesach the Pesach of the Squashed because one Jew was squashed. Which means that according to Chazal, each Jew, one Jew, is an individual that has so much power, that has so much potential, that if one Jew is lost, that individuality is a tragedy. We rename an entire Pesach after him. We go ahead and we say, if you save one Jew, you've saved an entire world. And if, God forbid, you didn't do that, you did the opposite, you lost an entire world. Now, is this true halachically?
When we forget about it.
Pardon? That's right, and therefore I think that one of the beauties of learning Torah is that it's all there, and all those values are there, and unfortunately, I have to say they're there on a low fire. They should be on a high fire. That's exactly what learning Torah should be. We learned, V'shinantam levanecha sheyu divrei Torah mechudadim beficha. The Torah shouldn't be something in the back of your mind. It should be something in the forefront of your mind so that it's always there and it could be taken out at any moment. And the problem is that we have it maybe at best at a low fire, not on a high fire. This is something that's always been in the Gemara. Maybe you learned it in Daf Yomi a few months ago. Maybe you learned it in the past. I learned it in the past. I didn't think about it. All of a sudden on Friday, it came to me. A whole Pesach was recalled this because one Jew was squashed to death. One! Now, is this true halachically? I mean, it's very nice, Bruce, for me to say each Jew is an individual, it's an entire world, it's a beautiful Maimar Chazal, it's a nice Gemara in Pesachim that talks about renaming an entire Pesach based on one Jew that was squashed to death. But quite frankly, does this have halachic bearings? Meaning, this is a halacha shir. This is not a shir about machshava. Well, I have to say, if I had time, I'd sit here and I'd be able to show you all the times in Jewish law where one individual changed Jewish law. Not a rabbi of great stature. One individual. Now listen to this story. How many of you, before you benched yesterday, if you ate bread, took the knife off the table? Bruce, did you ever do that? What? Sure. You took the knife off the table. So the Shibole Haleket, a very old classic halachic book, comes and asks, why is it that we have this minhag to take the knife off the table before we bench? And he brings two reasons. The first reason has to do with the table being like a mizbeach, and we don't put metal on a mizbeach. We'll leave that reason for a different time. The second reason, number two, is the one that this morning I'd like to share with you. Umipi chaver echad, v'Rabbi Simcha shmo. My dear friend Rav Simcha, he gave me a reason. Now, if Rav Simcha would talk to me between Mincha and Ma'ariv, then quite frankly, Dr. Daniel, I'd say, thank you for talking to me between Mincha and Ma'ariv. We filled in the time. You know, we were sitting there bored anyway. So finally someone came and did something to, you know, make it a little interesting. But to put it into a halachic book, this one already means that the Shibole Haleket said, wow, this has credence. Now listen to this crazy story. Shamati tamacher. Once there was a Jew that was benching. How many of you benched in the past? How many of you thought of the words? A Jew was benching. We all know that the third bracha of benching is, may God rebuild Jerusalem. He remembered, oh my gosh, there's no Beis HaMikdash. There's no Beis HaMikdash. That means that two of our Kolo members, Bruce and Harold, have a whole bunch of mitzvot that they're not doing. Oh my gosh, there's no Korban Tamid this morning that was brought. No Korban Tamid Shoben Arbaim that's going to be brought later. This is terrible. V'lakach ha-sakin v'taka b'libo. And he took the knife on the table and he stabbed himself. He was so upset, he killed himself. Al kein, therefore, nahagu l'salko mi'al ha-shulchan b'shat birkat ha-mazot. Now let me ask you a question. This is one individual who, between you and me, had a few psychological issues. But the Shibole Haleket puts it into his halachic work, and the Shulchan Aruch paskins it lahalacha. Noagim lechasot asakin b'sha'at birkas hamazon. Cover up the knife. Why? Because one Jew maybe will stab himself when he sees something in the benching that bothers him. So for all eternity, one second, Arthur, for all eternity, one Jew changed the world. He went ahead and did something crazy, and to this day, we take the knife off the table because of the power of one individual. Now that shows you that even halachically, one individual can change halachic behavior. And I can give many more examples, but this is one of the many that shows that one individual is an entire world. And therefore Chazal named an entire Pesach because one individual was lost. Yeah, Arthur, you had something to say.
Yeah, is there a difference between Shabbat and Chol regarding removing the knife?
Very good question. I didn't quote it. The Shulchan Aruch there does say that on Yontif and Shabbos you don't need to take off the knife, and it's a machlokas. Why? It has to do with the two reasons why you take off the knife. Very good. Yes, on Yontif and Shabbos, the minhag is not to take it off for various reasons. But this definitely makes us all think about the power of one individual. And therefore, I say with the 45 pictures I've seen in front of me, I personally went into one story and delved into it. Because I believe when you have one tragedy, it makes all the rest get compounded. Take one individual and ask yourself, how was that life lost? How a world was lost? Who knows what this one person could have done to change the world? So the first message I had this morning was, we didn't just lose 45, we lost endless generations of these young people that they could have brought into the world. And number two, each individual is an entire world. And look, our entire benching halachos were changed by one individual. Yes, Bruce, you had your hand up. You have to talk up, I'm sorry. Cute. Cute, Rabba and Rav Zera, maybe that's the reason for the entire year. Could be. Nice, I never saw that. But again, one individual can change entire halachic behavior. Just to buttress my point, let's see a beautiful medrash. Very small medrash. Darash Rabbi Akiva. Maaseh Dor HaMabul beGinzak shel Madai velo bachu. Comes Rabbi Akiva to Ginzak of Madai. He had to try to stir up the people. And he told them about the terrible story of the flood of Noach. And guess what? Nobody was moved. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever gone to shul on Parshas Noach, read the Parsha, read the words Vayimach et kol hayikum, and all you could think about was the jokes about the flood? I mean, the entire humanity was wiped out. So this is an ancient problem. We are so used to reading it that, you know, the entire humanity was wiped out. Millions of people were killed. We don't really think about it too much. However, Kivanchi Skirla Hemase Eov Miyad Bachu. But when he told them about what happened to Eov, the story of Job, then they all cried. Rav Soloveitchik, in the most amazing way, took these one line from a medrash and went all out on it in order to explain something that we have in the keynote that makes no sense. And I'll explain. In order to explain it, you have to know a pasuk in Eicha. The pasuk says in Perek Aleph, Al eile ani bochia, eini ini, eini eini yerdamayim, ki rachak mimeni menachem eshiv nafshi. Therefore I'm crying, my eyes are full with tears, because I have no way to be comforted. What does this pasuk talk about? So if you read Eicha, you'll say there's a Beis HaMikdash that's been destroyed, Jerusalem's been destroyed, women were raped, terrible tragedies. That's why Yirmiyahu, who wrote Eicha, is crying. But according to the Gemara in Gittin, that's not why. It was around a story about one brother and sister. Who were the brother and sister? They had important parents. Their parents were Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha. Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha was the parents of these two kids, brother and sister. These brother and sister were taken captive, and they were so beautiful that the captors wanted them to get married and have beautiful children. And of course, they didn't want to do it. They wanted to get married to Jews, and obviously Chuppah v'Kiddushin. And the next morning, they saw they were brother and sister, and they started to cry, and they died. And on this, says the Gemara, Yirmiyahu said, Aleila ani bochia. Very strange. He's not crying about the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. He's not crying about the big tragedies. He's crying about a personal story of the son and the daughter of Rav Yishmael ben Elisha. Now, Rav Yishmael ben Elisha, important Kohen. If you know the song Tanya, it's about him. But it's a personal story, said Rav Soloveitchik, and I read his words. These are word for word what he said on Tisha B'Av. The story of the generation of the flood, when all of mankind was wiped off the earth, did not move them. What moved them was the story of an individual tragedy. The Chorban of the Batei HaMikdash, Kino describing the martyrdom of the 10 martyrs and the pogroms in Germany and during the Crusades, that didn't move them. What moved them? After talking about losing a temple, losing a land, losing Jewish communities in Germany, losing 10 great rabbis, we all of a sudden have a kina about the story of the son and daughter of Rabbi Yishmael. In light of such immense catastrophes, why should we remember the story of individual boys and girls? We have just mourned and grieved for the destruction of a state, a land, a Beit HaMikdash, massacre, and martyrdom. That's of thousands of entire communities. And now suddenly, we are reminded of a story of two individuals, a young boy and a young girl? Said Rav Soloveitchik, the answer is clear. In Yahadut, the suffering of an individual matters. We mourn for two individuals in the same manner as we mourn for the 10 martyrs or for those killed during the Crusades. Namely, the keynote on Tisha B'Av don't just talk about the big tragedies. They make sure to bring us back to the individual, because the individual is an entire world, and we have to mourn them, because once we mourn them, we understand, go ahead and multiply it, tens of thousands of millions of worlds that were unique, that no one else had, were lost. So my second thought about Meron is, we didn't just lose 45 people. We lost 45 potential worlds, and an individual in Jewish law and thought is a big thing. A big thing. And therefore, on Tisha B'Av, the keynote is not just about the big things, it's about individuals as well. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva, when he spoke about one tragedy, he moved the people. When he spoke about the big millions, it didn't make a difference. Yes, Irving.
The question I have, God is not like most people.
God is not a person, I agree.
That's right. And God does not destroy a whole bunch of people at one time and just saves Noah. It doesn't make sense whatsoever that God would destroy the people. I mean, I could destroy. I could get somebody else to destroy. But God, he's got a rachman. He got everything.
Irving brings up very, very big questions, and indeed I think that the assumption is that God is not like us, and for us to understand him in our human minds is something that doesn't get off the floor, because God is not a human being, and therefore indeed it brings up big questions, because we're not gods, we're human beings, and therefore we don't understand necessarily the ways of God. Moshe Rabbeinu tried, and many others tried, and you know that I am not going to try even to try to understand the ways of God. What I'm trying to do here in the Shir is to talk about what do we take from this tragedy for us. To try to understand God's ways, we try. I don't think any of us will understand it because we're not of that mindset. But at the end of the Shir, I will say something about that. Yes, Bruce. You have to speak up. I'm sorry. I can't hear you.
There is another halakha about doing what you can to guard your life, keep yourself safe. And if everyone knew that this place is unsafe, then it seems everyone is aware of that. And yet they repeatedly went to this unsafe location, unlicensed, unregistered, very unsafe.
Okay.
How can people send their kids to such a place?
Bruce, you're bringing up a very legitimate point. And I think that part of it is what we call Chochma Shel Achar HaMaaseh. Once we see the terrible tragedy, we're saying, how can they even go there in the first place? Now, that's a good Jewish intuition, right? After you get into an accident and someone says, why weren't you careful? But I think that, first of all, we're smarter today than we were a week ago about the dangers of that location. Number two, not only that, I believe there's a time and there's going to be a place to deal with your questions. I don't necessarily think that I'm the person to deal with it because I'm not a safety expert. I do not know the situation there well on Lag BaOmer, but I can promise you one thing, Bruce. I don't believe that we'll ever see that unsafe scene again. But it brings up a lot of questions, and you're right. But allow me to go ahead and say one thing about what you said, Bruce, right now. And that's my third thought for this morning. Gentlemen, people go to Meron in order to commemorate the Yahrzeit of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, there's many piyutim about him. One of them says the following words. You even know the song. Ve'amartem kol lechai Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. In that piyut it says that amongst the many things that Rabbi Rashbi did, Tiher et Veria, he purified Teveria, Asauta Nikiya, and Hodulo Min Shemaya. He purified Teveria, made it clean, and they said thank you from heaven. Now, what is that all about? So I have to admit, Jerry, I had no idea what it's all about. You know, it's a piyut, like most piyutim. We say it, we don't look into it, we don't go ahead and understand it, we say it. Right? At best, we sing it. So we know a song, so we say it, and we sing it, and we enjoy the song, but we don't understand the word we're saying. That's, in general, piyutim. But here and there, there's a word that makes me very interested, and all of a sudden, I look, What did he do in Tveria? And that's a Yerushalmi in Shviat. We're about to go into the year of Shemitah, so Masechet Shviat in Yerushalmi is extremely important. And here is the story. But in order to understand the story, take one step back. When Yaakov Avinu finished confronting Esav, he got to Shechem. And the Pasuk says, Vayichan et pnei ha'ir. He came and he parked in the city. And there's a machloket in the Gemara. What did he do there? Amar Rav matbea tiken lahem. Shmuel amar shvakim tiken lahem. Rabbi Yochanan amar mechatzaot tiken lahem. Bruce, what did he do? In a word, he made it a livable city. Either he started a currency so people can pay for goods, or he made a marketplace, or he made bathhouses for hygiene. He made it into a livable city. A livable, safe place to be. Based on this background, says the Gemara in Yerushalmi, Rav Shimon bar Yochai, right, the Tana for whom people go to Meron. Avitarma bemaratla tat asar shanin. We all know he was in the cave for 13 years and he ate this and he drank that and he came out of the cave and there's many stories. This story you may not know when he came out of the cave. When he came out of the cave, amongst the many things, Amar, Nachut nechme behadein din musei de Tveria. Let us go down to Tveria. And he goes down to Tveria. Whoever knows geography of Israel knows it's not a long trip. Meron, you go down towards Tveria. Amar, Tzrichin anu la'asot takana, kamo sha'asu avotenu arishonim vayichan et pnei ha'ir. We have to fix this city like our forefather Yaakov did. Vayichan et pnei ha'ir. What do we need to do in Tveria? We have to make it livable. Shehayu osin itlusinu morchin bashuk, amar netke Tveria. We have to purify Tveria. Bruce, if there's anything that I take out of this tragedy, is let's continue this legacy of Rav Shimon bar Yochai, built on the legacy of Yaakov Avinu. And that is, let's make every place in Israel safe and livable. Yaakov did it in Shechem. Rav Shimon ben Yochai did it in Tveria, and now we better do it in Meron and every other place that's dangerous. And we all know that it's not just Meron. It's many places around the country that unfortunately are very dangerous to visit, are very dangerous to be in. And this is a legacy of Rav Shimon bar Yochai that I hope that we will internalize and we will live up to. That is one of the versions. Yes, yes, yes. And that is one of the versions. So I want to summarize what I said this morning. Number one, we didn't just lose 45 people. We lost the families they could have made. Number two, each individual is a big thing in Judaism. And therefore, one individual changed the laws of benching forever. And I can go on with examples. For example, I'll just throw it in here. Why do you say Baruch Hashem? Why do you say Baruch Hashem? Someone asks you, how are you? Baruch Hashem. Because of one Boaz in Ruth that said it. One Boaz in a Megillah that we read in Israel when we're tired on Shavuos, because we stayed up all night or we tried to. Because of that, generations of Jews answer Baruch Hashem. So you see how one individual can change reality. And therefore, we didn't just lose 45 people, we lost worlds, individual worlds, which puts the challenge to all of us to be individualistic in some way or another. And number three, let's continue the legacy of Rav Shimon bar Yochai and make every place in Israel livable and safe. He did it in Tveria, building on the legacy of Yaakov, who did it in Shechem, and I hope we continue. And allow me to end with the following thought. I've heard people in the last few days say things that I believe is, first of all, uncanny. Second of all, I also think is just illogical. And thirdly, against halacha right now, not in the future. And that is that even when this tragedy struck, they said, we have to be happy. It's all from God. That's not the halacha. The halacha is on bad events, you say, Baruch Dayan and Ha'emet. And on good events, you say, Atov Ha'ametiv or Shechiyanu. However, there will be a time in the future, says the Gemara in Psachim. We started with the Gemara in Psachim about the one Jew that was squashed. Allow me to end with the Gemara in Psachim. There'll be a day where God's name will be one and one alone. And we say this at the end of Aleinu, and we say this on Rosh Hashanah. Atu ayidna lav echad hu? What, now he's not one? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. He's one now too? The Gemara says, no, I'll explain. Lo ka olam hazeh olam haba. In this world, al besarot tovot, omer baruch hatov ha-meitiv, al besarot raot, omer baruch dayan ha-emet. In this world, when a bad tragedy strikes, you say baruch dayan ha-emet. You don't say, oh, everything God does is for the best, and I'm going to throw a party because a loved one just died. It's a bad event, call a spade. And if it's a good event, baruch hatov ha-meitiv. However, la'olam haba, in the world to come, we'll understand why God did this and why God did that, and we'll see indeed that everything God does is for the best. But not in this world. In this world, we call a spade a spade. What happened was a terrible tragedy, and we have to mourn, and we have to cry, and our hearts have to break. And that's the proper Jewish response to what happens in this world. I hope and pray, like I do every day, at least three times a day, for the time of Vahaya Hashem L'melech al kol ha'aretz, where we'll understand in retrospect all the bad events that we called bad and why they were good in retrospect. We're not there yet. In this world, a spade is called a spade. And I'll add, when you go ahead and you tell a family who's sitting Shiva, everything God does is for the best, not only are you negating Jewish law, you're not making them feel any better. You're not making them comforted by saying, oh, you lost your kid, 13 years old, it's for the best. That's not Jewish law, and that's just a stupid statement to make. In this world, it's a tragedy. It's a bad event. Baruch Dayan HaEmet. I hope that we get to a place in which indeed we'll understand all these terrible events throughout Jewish history from beginning to end. But we're not there yet. In this world, a tragedy is a tragedy. So we said three thoughts today about Meron, and I hope and pray that these terrible events will be behind us, and Amir Tzah Hashem, the good events, should override the bad very soon, and we'll be able to celebrate far more than mourn. But right now, our time and our charge is to mourn for these terrible tragedies and to think of ways for the future to try to fix it. We have to do that, Bruce. I owe it to you. Namely, when I quote a source, is that the source? Or is that just a pasuk that we anchored on, but it's not really the source? We can't be blind that we do learn various things from Rut. We learn to say Baruch Hashem. We learn Kinyan Chalipin from Megillat Rut. The famous pasuk, Ala Geula Vala Tmura Lishlof Ishna Allah, is the source, quote unquote, for Kinyan Chalipin. But Bruce, I owe you an entire shir on the two kinds of midrashim that we have. Not every medrash says, oh, I just learned the pasuk and I learned this halacha. Some of them is, I knew the halacha and I'm anchoring it on a pasuk. Well, I'll say it a different way, Bruce. When a rabbi gets up to speak on Shabbos, is he saying, I looked in the parsha and I delineated this message that emanated from me learning the psukim? Or did he do the opposite? He said, Arthur, I want to speak against the flag behind you. Now, what am I going to do? It's Parshat Bahar B'chukotai. It's my job to give something from the Parsha. So now that I've decided this is my message, I'll look in the verses and I'll find a way to make the verses say what I plan to say anyway. So the question is, when I quote a source, quote unquote, is that the source or is that just an anchor? But that's a whole shiur, Bruce, that we'll have to give, and I hope to give it Be'ezrat Hashem sometime in the future. Until then, wishing everyone B'sorot Tovot, Yeshuot V'Nechamot.
Yeshua, question. Was it Yisrael who said Baruch Hashem also?
He did, but for some reason we learned it from Boaz and not from him. But you're right, he did say it.
Yeah. Okay.
Have a good day, everyone.
Yeshua.